B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Broadcasting today from Riley's Pub at the Valleybrook Country Club. Roundtable coming up at noon with Brent Celek and Tim McManus. Anthony and Horsham joins us right now on The Fanatic. What's up, Ant?
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Ant?
Long-time listener, first-time caller, but...
Welcome, brother.
Not a guy.
Wanted to talk about what the Eagles mean to me, and my dad recently passed away, but it was right after the Super Bowl, kind of, so that's like the last good memory with him that I have.
You know, that's tough, man. The fact that, you know, did you guys share the Eagles together, Ant?
Yeah, we both shared the Eagles, and then we had our secondary teams where I'm a Packers fan, but he's a Chiefs fan.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you can't
so
have the secondary team,
now.
Though. Yeah.
Yeah, Eagles were the one number one team.
All right, yeah. It's a tough time. At least, you know, every time you watch them, you're going to be, you know, he'll be with you.
Yeah.
That's how
yeah,
you feel.
He
is. Yeah.
And the other thing, I want to talk about the Sixers real quick.
Yeah, sure.
We signed Al Horford to a four-year deal, but I feel like he's only really going to be effective for the first one or two years because of how much the league is getting faster. I feel like when he gets older, he's not going to be able to guard the four.
You might be right about that.
Well, we'll see. I don't know why. Honestly, you don't need to worry about that. You really don't. I mean, they're about trying to win this year and next year. And, you know, you still have it. And no, listen, he's got, I talked to a lot of people about him. He does have a lot of spring in his legs, and they expect him to be able to play. So
he's smart, too.
You know, I mean, again, I don't know why you would even worry about that now.
Yeah, why are you worried about 2 years from now when they can compete for an NBA title?
And you don't even know that he'll be, at that point,
shot.
I don't know that he will be, but it's a salary cap sport.
Nah, dude, you're fine.
But Anthony, look what happens in the NBA. What do? When there's teams that need to get to the salary cap floor, so they take on huge contracts. If he's gassed, that's what you do, yeah.
Don't worry about that. By the way, the idea of the second team is, what's the second team thing?
What do you mean?
The second team. These are my second team.
Yeah, I don't have a second team.
You shouldn't have a second team.
There's teams I like to watch, yeah, but I don't wear their garb.
But that's not your squad. You don't say it like, oh, they're my second team. This notion of the second team's got to go. Like, that's crazy.
I always had a team from the other conference. I don't know if I called it a second team, but a team that I would root for from the other conference. Like, for some reason, I liked watching the Titans back in the Frank Wycheck days and Eddie George, you know, and that whole thing. And they were in the AFC, so I didn't feel like it was a violation. You know? I liked the Vancouver Canucks with Cliff Ronning and Trevor Linden.
You know, that is a direct violation for you.
Well, they were in their Western Conference.
They beat the Flyers in the series 1 year.
Well, way back.
When it was 1-16.
Yeah, way back. Think about that travel, by the way.
In a three-game series.
But in baseball, like, I was never a Yankee fan or a Red Sox fan.
You're not supposed to be.
I wasn't a fan of those teams, but I guess I had a second team. As long as they were in the other conference,
terrible,
I felt like it wasn't in conflict. And
here's the thing. Would you seek that other team out?
What do you mean? Like, to watch them?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because they had players that I liked.
Well, then you were a fan of those things. That's a violation. Direct violation.
Well, why did it didn't splinter my hometown fandom.
Sure it did.
How?
Because if you, any energy that you have loving another team, mm-hmm, takes away from the love of your main team.
I didn't use the word love. That's your word.
Well, if you seek him out.
Well, but I seek him out at 10:30 at night when my team's done playing.
It doesn't matter. You don't know.
The West Coast.
I question you.
10:30 puck drop in Vancouver. I was in.
You're all knocked up.
Flyers were 7:30. I was, actually. That was my squad on NHL 94.
Oh, man, that's no good.
That was my squad. Like, I never played my home teams on video games.
No.
Well, then you had a tertiary team.
No, because you weren't supposed to, because everybody wanted to be the home team.
And they weren't good enough.
Well, they stunk in 94. I like the Nordiques.
You were a Quebec fan?
In 94.
What? Really?
In 94. I wasn't a fan, but you play with NHL 94 in the game.
That was your squad?
the Nordiques, the Stastnys, and
I like
the. We used to do the USA versus the world. So we would create the rosters.
Yeah.
So Tooch would be like the Caps because they were Washington.
Yeah, and you were the world.
And I was
like the world traveler.
Yeah.
You're like, I need a Czechoslovakian. I need a
Finn.
Yeah. I need a Finn. 610-632.
Yeah, the second team, the nonsense, though.
Yeah, I wasn't necessarily a fan of them. Did you ever have garb from other teams?
I did. I did.
All right, so you'd wear like a 49er hat.
When I was a little boy, I did have a Raiders shirt.
Okay, I had a Raiders
hat. When I was a little boy.
Okay. But then when you grow into an adult, thinking on your own.
Yeah, when I'm 12 years old,
all right.
You know, I'm all eagled up.
I'll give you special dispensation. Let's go to Brandon and King of Prussia's on the Fanatic. What's up, B?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Yo, B.
Yo, Cut. My condolences to that last caller who lost his dad. But yeah, that having multiple teams, that's a direct violation, man.
Yeah, no good.
You can't have multiple teams, but you can have what's the way to put it? Maybe like just a secondary option when your team's not playing.
Yeah, I'm not.
Nah, no good. That's out.
But I do want to talk about the memories that I've had and why I became an Eagles fan. When I was young, man, my grandmother lived around the corner from me, and I used to see her curse at the TV when we would lose to the Cowboys. And I was always scared, like, why was she cursing? And then as I grew older, it was like I was cursing at the TV with the Cowboys. So when we won that Super Bowl, man, me and my buddies went down and they were crying and stuff, and I didn't get hit yet with the tears. I walked in this bar, man, this Eagles fan, he was like, man, we won this for our grandparents and those who came before us, and I instantly thought about my grandmother, man. I just started crying and it was a good time, man. But
that's beautiful. Brent, let me ask you a question. What year are you talking about? Like were you talking about like 80s when grandma was watching the games?
No, I'm only 28, so I
so
had
you're
to
talking 90s? Like
Yeah, it was definitely Donovan. She couldn't stand Donovan, so I hated
it. You know what it is, Brad, too? Like, I love the same way. Like, my grandmother, like, I don't know what it was, but your grandparents watching the Eagles and cursing at them, and, you know, it's such a, like, rite of passage for Philadelphia, you know?
Right. Yeah, man, it's,
Like, we all shared that.
Yeah, I think that's what makes, especially just Philly people. That's why when I heard multiple teams, like when you're from Philly, you got one team and that's it. It's Philly across the board, nothing else, man.
I love you, man. I love you. Yeah. You got FanFest tickets?
No, man. Me and my buddies, we were trying to get down.
You got them now.
All right.
You got them now.
Put it on hold, Brandon. Just let Andrew know how many you need, all right?
All right, appreciate it, folks.
You said buddies, plural, so
let me throw one thing at you. So I'm doing this. I'm writing this film, right? This movie, and it takes place in Philadelphia in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I'm trying to make the producer understand that the Eagles are a big deal, right? So like, there's a scene, and it's Thanksgiving, and the Cowboys are playing because it's Thanksgiving, and. The one dude comes in and he's from Pittsburgh, right? And so, you know, so the guy goes and he's dating the guy's sister, right? So the brother walks in Thanksgiving and says, "You like football?" And he goes, "Yeah." And he goes, "Do you like the Cowboys?" And he goes, "Hate them." The guy from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And he goes, "All right, you'll do. That's good."
Yeah.
Right?
We share that.
Right. And so they get this little riff about Eagles, Cowboys, right? Like how much we hate the Cowboys and what we're about Eagles and all stuff like that. And so the producer goes, "Listen, can we change this to where the Eagles are playing the Redskins?"
What?
I go,
It's factually inaccurate.
I said, we can't. First of all, it's Thanksgiving. So the Cowboys and the Lions are the only two teams that play. And the Eagles, there was one year that played the Cowboys. He's like, "Yeah, but this is fiction." I go, the one thing that's got to be accurate.
That's got to be authentic.
Is that it's the Eagles fans' hatred of the Cowboys. Because he goes, "Can't you, the Eagle fan, hate the Giants or the Redskins?" because he didn't understand that we hate the Cowboys more than the Giants and the Redskins.
He didn't understand the history behind it.
Right.
It's been handed down from generations.
I go, listen, you have that. You tell me you want me to change any other thing, you got it. Not that. I'll get killed.
You'll make that the hill you die on.
Yes.
610-6.
We're not doing it.
0975. That way to stand your ground, though. You're out there with the heavy, the big weight, the big wigs in Hollywood, and you're standing your ground. I like that.
Well, but that's a, you know, that's a big deal for us.
Yeah, because you would be destroyed if that movie comes out and it's the Eagles playing the Redskins on Thanksgiving.
Right.
You're going, yo, cuz.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't know your history?
Exactly.
See, you just mentioned something, too, like seeing your grandparents watch the game, and it was handed down from them to your parents and then to you, and you're handing it down to your kids now, and they're going to hand it down. I never met either of my grandfathers. And I remember one of my grandmothers. They all passed. My one grandmother and my two grandfathers passed before I was born. So, and my one grandmother.
Got robbed, yeah.
I got robbed of that.
Yeah.
It was always a bummer. Yeah. And both my grandfathers were in the war. Like, it would have been cool, but.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, but you got that whole thing. It's something I'm certainly jealous about. 610-632-0975. Now, coming up.
I lost my grandfather's early, too. That one I never met.
Yeah.
The other one was too soon.
Yeah. Now, coming up at noon, Brent Celek's going to join us. Tim McManus from ESPN.com. We're going to have the Eagle Roundtable.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's the day before camp. I mean, the football season doesn't start until September, but. In a way, it starts tomorrow because preparations begin tomorrow. And, Anthony, this weekend is the last weekend, last calendar week, that there's not football on until after the Super Bowl.
Well,
February.
Really? Yeah.
Because you have the Hall of Fame game a week from Thursday.
Yeah, there it is.
And then 2 weeks from this Thursday, the Eagles preseason.
Yeah, so it all starts, yeah.
Yeah, and then college football ramps up.
It's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, because I know that in February, when the Super Bowl ends, there's a feeling of despair. Even if your team's not in it, that you just don't have football for the next six odd months. And now all of a sudden it comes back, and it's a huge supplement to the baseball season. In other words, well, basically, baseball becomes the supplement.
Exactly.
And the main meal now becomes football. But that starts next week. So this is your last weekend. So whatever you got to do to put in some extra equity family time, because you're going to start to splinter that now with your football coverage at home. You gotta make this weekend count. You know what I'm saying? Philly's Braves, though. That's the problem. 610-632-0975.
Not that big a problem.
No, it really isn't.
Gargano and Martinez Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I love it. Live from Raleigh's Pub. This is great stuff.
The marvel at the views.
Looking out, it's a little bit of a rainy day, but we need it.
Ugh.
A little cooler, much cooler.
Did you get stuck in those storms that blew through last night?
Yeah, they were nasty.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I think there was a microburst somewhere, too, again.
Yeah.
Crazy
the
storms.
Winds were ridiculous.
Yeah, the backside of it's nice, though.
Valley Brook, that's right. We're live at Valley Brook. One of the great Ron Jaworski golf courses. Don't forget, at Jaws Golf on Instagram and Facebook.com/Ron Jaworski Golf, YouTube Ron Jaworski Golf. You can go to RonJaworskiGolf.com and RonJaworskiWeddings.com. It's all here. Blue Heron Pines and Downingtown and Ramblewood and Riverwinds and Running Deer. And, of course, right here. Valley Brook Country Club, Blackwood, New Jersey.
Many of Ron Jaworski's shows have come right from this location.
Right from the stage that we're sitting at.
Yep, this is where the Jaws show happens. Yeah. Wednesday nights, I've listened to many of those.
I love the Jaws show.
Yeah.
Jason gets it all ready for him.
Yeah, and it's another one of those things that's like a sign of football. The Jaws show. It gets you pumped up, you know. And if football is going to be back tomorrow, Ant, they're going to report to NovaCare. I know that players are trickling into town from out of town now, And trickling in here, just coming up in a little while, will be Brent Celek, who, of course, was with the Eagles for 11 seasons, played one for one NFL team. I think he was drafted in the fifth round, I want to say. Was Brent taken, I think, in the fifth? Yeah. And
out of?
Cincinnati.
Yep.
I think it was the 07 draft, if I remember correctly. And
I love Brent. I got to tell you, he's always been he's a great Eagle. He was a terrific hard-nosed player.
Yep.
Who was
invited contact.
He was a terrific blocker, great hands. I mean, you know, he was, and you know, the beauty of Brent was he was a guy that was a, you know, consummate team guy.
Yeah.
He was the consummate guy that was, you know, he's a backbone guy.
Yeah, he's the guy. He's the kind of guy that you need a lot of to win a title.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, he saw three different head coaches in here in his time, from Andy to Chip to Doug Peterson, and then to walk away after you win. And he had opportunity; he could have come back.
Yeah.
And he mentioned it and said, you know, this is like the perfect dream scenario to hang up a career with a Super Bowl in this city, and he's making this, you know, the Delaware Valley is home. It's amazing to me because Jaws is one of those guys. He's kind of the poster boy for making Philadelphia his home. How many guys end up, even if they don't finish their career here, like Jaws didn't, and come back and spend the rest of their life here?
Well, especially from Jaws' team.
Yeah.
Hal Carmichael.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Working for the team.
If
Listen, go forward. Trot. Still here.
John Runyon. A lot of guys in all sports. Make this their hometown, and the Philadelphia fan gets ragged on for being vicious. If it's that vicious, then why do so many guys stay? You know, because they fall in love with the area.
Oh, totally.
And the DNA of the sports fan in this area. It's really impressive to see so many guys do that. And we'll get to talk to Brent coming up at noon for the roundtable. Tim McManus will join us as well. All the football writers, I see some teams reporting to camp already.
Yeah, well,
a couple injuries, too.
Yeah. Oh, really? I mean,
Michael Bennett, I think a broken ankle or something in his first practice. There's a safety, I believe, with Atlanta that blew his ACL yesterday.
Yeah, they had bad luck on defense.
Falcons. So, you know, the injuries happen. Sometimes they happen early in camp. And, you know, it's a shame. You hate to see that. You don't want to risk injury on anybody in any sport. But it's the fact of the matter, and overcoming it becomes part of the story, yeah. Daniel Jones signed his rookie deal, by the way, Ant. Yeah, Falcons safety Wilcox suffers an ACL injury. And I saw that Michael Bennett, I believe, got hurt too. I'm not sure if he's out for the season or what the deal is, but you hate to see that, you know, first day of camp and at any time, really. 610-632-0975.
Damn, that's amazing. J.J. Wilcox, that's crazy.
He's done for the year, right?
Yeah. Well, he's getting a second opinion.
Yeah. No one's probably going to say you're done for the year.
Jeez.
Yeah. I mean, think about that. You do all that preparation going into a season, and the first day you tear an ACL.
That's going to be a heartbreak. Yeah, man.
Let's go to Matt.
Oh, he was a huge signing, trying to get their secondary in order.
Yeah, that's a big issue for them. Matt in Pottstown on the Fanatic. What's up, Matty?
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, for this Eagles, before I get to having this second team silliness, you know, I don't remember when I learned how to walk. I don't remember when I learned how to talk, and much like that, I don't remember when I became an Eagles fan. You just were. You know, that's just how I was. If anything, my first memory would have driven me away from liking the Eagles in terms of people. I remember people like the other caller yelling at the TV, screaming about Jaws, screaming about, you know, Dick Vermeil, go back to the West Coast and using words that I can't say on the radio, all things like that. That would have driven you away from being a fan, but it was something about that uniform, that Kelly Green, that bird, seeing the grittiness of Jaws with the beard and Carmichael and Wilbur Montgomery and that defense and things like that just drew me to that team. And I've just been a fan. I've been a fan since I can remember football.
It's funny you say that. Like, you can't even remember.
I don't remember.
You just always were.
I were. You and I are similar in age. So I remember football. I remember Monday Night Football. Yeah. I love the theme song. I remember guys like Chuck Foreman and all that kind of stuff. But it's just been Eagles for me since day one. Now, as I got older and I became more of a understanding of football, there were players that I admired and liked.
Oh, you appreciate it because you love the game, right?
Because I love the game. John Elway. I love John Elway.
Yeah, no, I do too.
But when they played the Eagles, that's it. He's in the back seat. So this second team stuff, like, I don't get it. Like, do you have a second wife? Like, you're not a Mormon, right? So well, you have a team, you have one team. You have the Eagles, yeah?
I'm not a polygamist, but, hey, I'm open to suggestions.
I mean,
I'm taking resumes.
That's how my mind clicks with the football. There's the Eagles, and then there's everybody else. And that's just how it is, and that's how it, you know, that's just how I'm
going. No, you're right. You're dead right about that, man. You really are. And it's funny because you can appreciate certain teams the way they play. Like, you can appreciate the, you know, Ravens defense. Like, you know, I like to watch it, but that's not my team. There's always that division where you go, but they're not my team.
No, my team is the Eagles. Right. So live, you know, up or down, good or bad, that's my squad. I can like some guys. I dislike a lot of guys. But, yeah, like, when push comes to shove, it's the Birds or nothing.
Okay, but Matt, let me ask you this. Yeah. Let's get down to the crux here. Like, a guy like Peyton Manning, to me, was one of those guys that whenever he played, I had to watch it because of everything, the greatness that he was as a player, all the stuff at the line of scrimmage. I loved it.
Yeah.
So I wasn't a fan of the Colts, but I enjoyed watching them play. So in essence, they were like a secondary team for me.
Not only
did I like watching him play, but I wanted to see them win.
Well, you wanted to see
Peyton
Manning. You want to see Peyton Manning be successful. The team, that's sort of like that's just
I have no history with the laundry.
That's a byproduct, and you're exactly he's right. It's a byproduct of it. Look, you weren't going to go. Here's why you know it's not a second team is that if you appreciate the sport, you appreciate certain players, you appreciate the skill. So I loved watching Peyton. I love that, you know, he revolutionized quarterback play pre-snap.
Yep.
You know, understanding being almost a second OC on the field.
Yeah.
You know, how could you not love that? And I used to watch him and I loved those shootouts with New England and Brady.
Yep.
And I would root Peyton all the time over Brady.
Yeah, that's basically my second.
Well, you got no other than a cursory, fleeting satisfaction that you got, you know, that Peyton beat Brady. There was no, you know, there was no, like,
yeah, I'm not saying I'm a COLTS chance at work the next day.
No, but that's my point, is that there's no celebration. It's what it is. It's a fleeting satisfaction of a player that you appreciate.
Because he provided me with entertainment and enjoyment.
And by the way, that's real. I mean, you if you love the game, and we all love the game first, right? Mm-hmm. The game. You can love your team, but the game comes first because you love the game.
See, but there's the other part of it, too, is even though you can appreciate great talent, there's sometimes when talent are in certain places where you can't even appreciate it. Like if that talent is with the Cowboys, like Michael Irvin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where
I will tell
the
you.
Uniform trumps.
I will tell you. I mean, I can appreciate Ezekiel Elliott play football.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could sit there and watch a game and go,
he's great back.
And he'll make a run, and you just go, wow, he's good.
Yeah.
He's just really good.
Yeah, like, and then, like, you get put in a pickle barrel sometimes, too, because you got a guy like Saquon, who played for the college that I went to, and then he goes to the Giants.
Yeah, but
he's a great player.
It's the same thing, though. Yeah. I mean, you're looking and you appreciate Barkley.
Yeah.
The way he plays, like, you know,
I don't want success for him because that's got direct ramifications.
Yeah, I mean, like, you want capped success or just his own success without team success.
Yeah, I want to see spectacular plays in a loss.
Yeah.
But like for teams like the Colts, though, like, I wanted to see the Colts win. I wanted to see the Vancouver Canucks win. I was actually into that part of it.
Well, it's weird, too. Like, you know, again, in my case, I know a lot of guys in the league.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys are coaches somewhere and they're on staffs. And I you know, I wish them all well. Like, I want to see them have their own success.
Yeah. Well, you know them on a personal level, too. So that there's.
But you still want your own your own team to win.
Sure. David in Baltimore is on the Fanatic. What's up, David?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Great conversation this morning.
Thank you.
Hey, I definitely want to talk a little football with this secondary team thing.
Yeah, bro.
So, like, first of all, I'm just a big, big football fan, and I love the history of football. Like, the NFL films, man, I've been eating up the football life, man. Like, I just watched the one on, I know it's old, but the one Jerome Brown, Reggie White, that got to me, man. That was a great film done.
Dude, that was unbelievable, wasn't it? It was incredible. Yeah.
Forget how dominant they were, David.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You know what,
like, I'm a history buff, so I love anything history, but I love sports history, and I love going back and watching old film and old. I just guess I have an old soul like that. But The secondary team thing, the only time I ever had a secondary team, I think you guys will understand this, I was pulling so hard for Randall to win with the Vikings. I've always been a big Randall Cunningham fan. When Randy Moss came to the league, I mean, he was just a monster. I instantly fell in love with that deep ball. The Eagles were going through a horrible time period anyways then. I was pulling so hard for Randall.
Yeah, I really wanted him to win that Super Bowl.
And yeah, 15-1 regular season.
Yeah,
Moss's rookie year and Chris Carter.
And the kicker.
Yeah, Gary Anderson.
Yeah.
Robert Smith in the backfield.
It's a gimme. Yeah.
You know, it's funny, everybody always brings up Gary, but I was watching, it was the number one worst conference loss of all time, according to NFL Films. People forget, they were up 7. They just couldn't get that stop late. But that was a very, very fun team. And just being an Eagles fan and seeing Randall play, you know, is something I really appreciated.
Yeah.
But, Anthony, let me ask you this question. I'm just curious to hear your take on this. How do you think Randall would do in the Eagles offense today?
I think he'd be great because I think he'd be coached.
Yeah,
I
think he would be a great, great, great player if he played today. I think he would be like Deshaun Watson.
Because he can sling it down the field.
Deshaun Jackson down the field. Can you imagine that scrambling ability to have a receiver like that? I think he would kill it, personally.
I do, too. No, because here's the thing. He would be forced to learn the game from a different way. Everything would be different, right? You know, back then, those guys, quarterbacks weren't raised to be the cerebral forces that they are now.
Right. They. I mean, also, I don't think he had.
It was all. They were just, you know, execute the play. Right.
Right. They didn't have that same type of what we would call analytics. But great show as usual, guys, and keep up the good work.
Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate it,
Dave.
Yeah.
I mean, the other aspect of this too is, I mean, geez, the game's changed so much defensively. The things you can't do.
Oof, you're right.
And he was such a ridiculous, you know, specimen that could was so elusive and. You know, I mean, the stuff that he could do.
I think you've said it before.
Phenomenal.
He was kind of a guy born at the wrong time.
Yeah.
You know, if he was playing in the league today with his particular set of skills, it would have just been ridiculous. With that coaching, and if he would have been a dedicated guy in the film room and all that stuff and really maximizing his physical abilities and being as good mentally, it would have been incredible.
I mean, think about it. I mean, you know, he's got the same kind of elusiveness as a Mahomes, you know, that sense, except only a little bit taller and you know.
And he could sling it, Ant.
Oh, my God.
A mile.
Well, that's where he really reminds me of Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, yeah.
Deshaun Watson has similar kind of release. If you watch his release, it's an arm action.
And a whip.
Like, certain guys are arm throwers, certain guys are leg throwers. Like, Wentz is a leg thrower.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think he suffered last year.
Because of the back. Couldn't engage.
I mean, think about the stuff that he had to do. When he wasn't set, trying to go down the field, you saw what was on his ball was not the way it normally is. He's legs. He's all, I mean, on his base and his feet, he's got such proper footwork that when his legs are anchored and footwork is there, I mean, he'll drop the ball in the bucket.
Yeah, he's got tremendous touch. Now, we talked about these quarterbacks.
I love the guy. You know, it's funny, just thinking about him, we got to remember what he was 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the real Carson Wentz. I don't care what anybody says. I think the real Wentz is what we saw 2 years ago.
All right, so we talked about these quarterback rankings that came out on The Athletic. What is it, Mike Sando, Andrew? Is that the writer?
Yes, the ones that came out yesterday. Yeah. Originally of ESPN, now of The Athletic.
Okay, so he did his tiered rankings, and Carson is the second quarterback in the second tier. Number 9 is Matt Ryan. And there's a couple of... Now, what they did was they talked to 50 people in the NFL, whether they are general managers, coaches, coordinators, and there's a couple of quotes. One offensive coordinator in the league said, he's the number one. We played them. He made 4 to 5 throws I did not think he could make. He has great confidence, great stature, big arm, competitive, gets hit more than he should, but he played young and should grow out of that. That's what we need to see this year, right? That ability to have an internal clock and get rid of the ball and not put himself...
Yeah, I think for sure. Yeah, you know, I mean, last year was different. I mean, when you suffer an injury like that, you're going to, you know, things are going to move a little bit slower. So I think there was an internal clock. I think there was the RPO, which also took a quick second, you know, all that, you know, process, you know, feel the rush, get the ball out, happened so quickly that, you know, again, I think he'll be much better at that this year.
Another guy in that same story, a personnel director, used the term that he's got Andrew Luck-ish ability.
Yeah. You know,
the ability to be able to move out of the pocket, throw out of the pocket.
Very much so, yeah.
But they also said Wentz just got paid, so all of a sudden if they're 7-9, it's going to be, wait a minute, an evaluator said, I hope this is not an RG3 situation, but because of the injuries, I think he needs to reconfigure how he plays. I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, he's got to dial back a little. I mean, you know, you can't live, you can't want to make a every play and take risk on every play. You'll never survive.
Yeah.
So he's got to change. Look, I mean, just watch Brady, right? Play's not there. I mean, he's singing, he'll zing it at the foot of his running back. I mean, you know, boom.
Throw to his heels.
That's it. You know, play over, we'll play again. I mean, and that's real. He's got to have to do that.
So the QB tiers balloting over the last six, the first six times they've done this, Aaron Rodgers has at least tied for the top spot in six of those years. He's the number one right now in the NFL, according to this survey that this Sando took on this story. So you're okay with Rodgers being number one?
Yeah.
Brady number two, you okay?
Yeah.
Number three, Drew Brees.
Yeah.
But you could see...
Yeah, I mean, you can't look at, like, we looked at it in that Eagles game and during the playoff run, his arm, did his arm lack a little bit? I mean, I think it's obviously not as strong as it was. He's different than Brady. It's not as strong as it was a few years back. I have a friend of mine who was in the league, and we were talking about Brees at one point, and you could see his down-the-field throws change a little bit, and he's more of a guy that's going to throw in that, you know, mid 10 to 20 yard range and get a lot of his yards with his receivers after the catch.
Number four, they've got Andy Reid's guy, Patrick Mahomes.
Nah, I love him, yeah.
Let me give you this quote from an NFL executive. He's as good as I've ever seen.
I mean, look at that. Look at his throw. Look
across
at
the body.
Look at his throws are absurd.
Yeah. The guy goes, I remember seeing the last game 2 years ago when he played against Denver, and I said, holy S. We could not believe the throws he was making.
How about the no-look throw?
Oh, that was outrageous. It was like magic.
Yeah. No, he's out. He's insane.
Yeah, he's
on. And he's a wrist guy. Like, we talk about arm throwers and leg throwers. He's a wrist thrower. Michael Vick was a wrist thrower where it's all about, it's wrist a action. Flick that, and it comes out with a perfect spiral.
Yeah.
You know.
Vick was that.
Just, do you want to talk about spinning it?
Yeah,
he just spins it, man.
Number five, Andrew Luck. Number six, Philip Rivers. He's been around forever. Number seven was Big Ben. It was probably starting to see the downside of his career, although he can still get it done.
Totally.
Russell Wilson at number eight. Number nine, as I mentioned, is Matt Ryan. And number 10 was Carson Wentz. So Stafford comes in at 11. Deshaun Watson, these are guys to look out for that could take that jump into the top tier. Jared Goff got to a Super Bowl last year, and Baker Mayfield's another one that'll be interesting to keep an eye on. All right. 610-632.
Like, well, look, I think that's the most accurate that I've seen of all these quarterback lists.
Yeah.
He's got Newton at, what, 15?
15.
Tier 3 guy. Yeah, I agree. I
Cousins right behind him.
I agree. I those two are very similar in that sense. Prescott down there, that's exactly
17,
it.
Yeah. Nick Foles comes in at 18, by the way.
And I like that, too, because there was one that had Nick way down. Look, I think he became a better quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, taller quarterbacks take a little time. He's a bigger guy. I think he kind of came into his own. He's confident, and you watch him, and he can make throws down the field. I mean, that game against Houston was one of the great games you'll see.
No question.
He took a couple big shots, stood tall in the pocket. Right, Tim McManus? That Houston game? Foles was impressive.
Look, Timmy looks all well rested from last month of vacation.
He does. I don't even recognize Brent.
Yeah.
I mean,
it looks like he just walked off a
first
Key
of
West.
All, he somehow, really, first, somehow, he looks like he's 180 pounds, right? and dude didn't gain weight.
I swear.
No way, man.
Super
And he looks young. Somehow he looks younger.
Is that the season?
He looks like he's 25.
Well, he's not stressed out. He's not worried about going to camp
really?
Tomorrow.
Yeah, we got a big round table ahead. Cannot wait.
Yeah, can't wait.
And talk football with these guys.
Andrew, our screener is down right now. Who's the next telephone caller? Ron, punch him up there for us.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, Ron? So, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here. Cuz?
Yes.
Okay. Last time I talked to you, I was telling you that I like your passion about the Philadelphia teams. And that's what we have as fans. When I was a kid, my dad had so much passion for the
Oh,
no. We're losing. You're getting every other word, Ronnie.
Yeah, put Ronnie on hold, Andrew. Who's up next? Niall, what's up? You're on the Fanatic.
What's up, buddy? You too. That's a shame. Where your phone? Let's try it. Nah, we're going to have to put you on hold, bud.
Yeah.
Israel, Elkins Park, Izzy.
Hey, how you guys? How you all doing today?
What's up, Iz?
Listen, what I fell in love with Randall Cunningham in a way that our defense played. First of all, they don't let him play defense anymore. I don't know what this is that they're playing. But the stuff that the Mean Green Eagles defense with Seth Joyner and Clyde Simmons and Reggie White, not only was the Eagles... It's almost like, I don't want to be blasphemous, but it's almost like a religion.
No, it is. I think there's direct parallels to that.
It's more than, like, I like the Sixers. I like the Phillies. I like the Flyers. But the Eagles is like, if they lose, my week was bad.
Yeah.
Like, I was going to have a bad week. And when Randall broke his leg, I cried.
Yeah,
I don't cry. I don't normally cry. And when we won the Super Bowl, I cried. And then you can say that to another Eagles fan, and it doesn't take, like, you don't lose cool points. Like, you, it doesn't make you cry. It makes you understand what the Eagles mean
as
to a real fan. And so when Nick Foles won the Super Bowl, this is why I think that Wentz would have to win at least two or three Super Bowls to get to what Nick did because...
I mean, think about it. If he wins one...
It's absurd, is.
He delivered that first
Listen, you're right. Hear me out one second. I'll let you finish. But, he delivered the first bowl, so he'll always have a special place in all of our hearts, right?
Yeah.
Right? So that's a special place. That's different. I think Carson... Everybody knows he's the long range, you know, franchise quarterback. If he wins one, we will adore Carson. If he doesn't, I could see him being tortured. But if he wins one, I think all it takes is him winning one and everybody falls in love. To be like you both, I don't know if you have any kids, be like having two kids.
You don't love one more than the other.
Yeah, but sometimes there's a special spot in your heart for, like, if you're your second daughter.
I gotta tell you, I got two boys, right? And when I tell you equal is equal, like, I adore the two of them. And the little one connects with me in a different way, and the big one connects, the firstborn connects me another way. I'm telling you, I literally... Those two are equal. I have the capacity for both. And I think
sometimes you like one more than the other.
It's the same thing.
Depending on what stage they're in. Sometimes you go, I don't really like my son right now. He's in that stage. He's a bit of a pain in the rear end. But this too shall pass. They change.
Right.
Very quickly. You know, like weather. Kids are like weather.
And you go through the two of them are just, you have the same kind of thing. Where, like, I look at my two. And the little one is, he and I share the same.
He melts you.
The same loves. Like, he's a sports kid. You know,
Can we go have a steak, Daddy?
Yes. He's
You're like, huh?
We had played a baseball game, like all-star game for him, and he said, you know, Daddy, can we go get a steak, cheese steak? Yeah, Dad, you got it. Like, you know, last night, he and I stay up, and he's six, and he likes these movies, right? So he wanted to see Blackwater. He likes Jaws, and he likes the Killer Crocodiles. So we watch that. The big one doesn't like that.
He likes Jaws because he knows Jaws.
Right. He does know Jaws.
Jason just showed me a thing. He goes, what if one of your kids got drafted by Dallas?
Yeah. Oh.
My heart had a heart arrhythmia. Well, I don't know what I'd do in that situation.
Well, you know what you would do.
You'd root them on.
Yeah,
you root them on. I guess it trumps everything.
It does.
It's family. Like Brent, a while back, said on the midday show, he had an opportunity. Was it Dallas that called your agent?
No, they didn't call. I said I wouldn't go there.
Yeah, you said he wouldn't go there. They paid him $10
million. How great is that?
Yeah. Brent made a little news when that happened. That ended up all over the place.
Brent.
I didn't make a
decision.
Yeah. Right. I get it.
But you would look in the mirror with that uniform on and you'd barf on it.
Yes. But of the teams that you would have no interest in playing on, Cowboys 1, Giants 2, Redskins 3? Would that how it would go? Well, the Bengals, yeah, no.
Oh, that's your hometown.
No, bleep the Bengals, all right?
You don't want to play there anyway. Would you play with Marvin Lewis?
And they stink anyway, so it was their loss.
Yeah, you never got in the ball with Andy Dalton.
Maybe if that guy's like you on that team, they wouldn't have melted down and got all those flags.
Well, they seem to do that every single year.
Yeah.
That's one of those situations. Imagine, like, we've been there where the Bengals are, where it's like you got this middling quarterback. And you know that if you don't have a great quarterback, then really you're not going to really be able to do something great. And that's like a hopeless feeling. Yeah, they might be okay. They might make the playoffs or whatever. But they're never going to be great.
Nah.
I mean, Marvin Lewis was there for 20 years.
Well, forget about Marvin Lewis, because I think he actually is all right.
He's dealing with what he's got
I mean, the front office of that team was horrible.
Yeah.
And by the way, he goes back to the quarterback. They had their playoff runs, and he failed every time.
Yeah.
He's a bad he's not going to win. You're not going to win with Andy Dalton.
Yeah, it's funny because there's some of these franchises, too, that just had horrible luck.
Goes down to the quarterback,
like
man.
Kenny Smith. And think about all those, you know, look at the team like Cleveland and all the quarterbacks that went through there. And at least some of these guys you saw coming out of college, they got the guy here.
Kelly Holcomb. Right, like, watch these dudes. They got you got no shot to win.
Yeah.
It does go down to the quarterback in that it goes back to Dalton. They had a good team, they had a good defense.
Yep.
They had a couple weapons. You know, they went to the playoffs where it was 3 years in a row, and they couldn't win.
Yeah.
Because the quarterback wasn't good enough.
No. I have a feeling Carson Wentz is going to come up in our roundtable discussion. So we'll find out. Stay tuned. We're at Riley's Pub today.
And you don't want to miss it.
Got the fried pickles over here for you. Ready for you? I got you some wings, a little wing, some dipping sauces.
I'm good with the sauces
and
pickles.
The round table is coming up. Brent Celek is in the house. Tim McManus in the house. We'll come back and have the Eagles training camp, pre-training camp round table live from Riley's Pub, Valley Brook Country Club, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.